Somewhere along the way, you picked up a definition of success that was not yours. And it wasn't this single moment that you'll be able to point to. So I don't want you to try to look back and think, what do you mean? It's the way these things always happen is gradually and through this repeated exposure, through this invisible osmosis of absorbing what the people and the environments around you treated as the measure. What were people celebrating? What were they questioning? What did they reward? What did they look at sideways? What did they hold up as evidence that someone who was doing well, and what they pointed to as evidence that someone was not doing well? That kind of just all came to us. And that definition, the one that got installed before you had the conscious capacity to question whether it fit you, that definition of success in your life is running the evolution system of your entire existence right now. It's the benchmark you're measuring against when you assess whether or not what you're building is enough. When you decide whether to feel good about where you are or if you're going to let yourself feel behind. You're measuring the success when you determine whether the version of success you have built or are building counts as success or something that still needs to be justified. And I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you actually stopped and asked, whose definition is this? Not rhetorically, like I want you to actually ask this, and I want you to trace it back. Follow the thread. Find the origin of the expectation and ask whether the person or system that generated it has any business setting that standard for your life. Because I'm going to guess, because of what I know to be true, that a significant portion of the definition you're chasing belongs to someone else. Your idea of success probably belongs to a parent whose approval you're still building towards. Your version of success probably belongs to a culture that has a very specific and very profitable version of what the good life looks like. Or maybe it's your friends whose validation you've been quietly optimizing without acknowledging that that's what you're doing. It could even be the church groups that assign spiritual value to certain kinds of achievement and spiritual suspicion to everything else. Maybe your idea of success is based on an industry that has a very specific metric and uses it to determine who gets taken seriously and who doesn't. And I'll take this a step further and say that the life you would actually build if you cleared all that bullshit out, if you sat with the question of what you actually want rather than what you're supposed to want, looks at least somewhat different from the life you have been building towards. And today, in this episode, why don't we find out how different that would be? And then let's do something about it. Hey, you guys, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. I am your host, Brandon Lynette. I am the voice authority, the podcast coach, and I'm gonna say it like I say it. Your mess is your message. And today we're gonna really help us put our finger on that thing that is running underneath almost every other pattern that we've talked about this entire season, okay? The expectation. It's not your expectation, but the one that was handed to you, the one that you just absorbed before you had the tools to evaluate it. The expectation that has been the invisible standard against every version of your life has been judged by you, by people around you, by that quiet internal voice that's keeping score whether or not you asked it to. And you guys know, like before we get too far in this show, today's episode is brought to you by Super Patch. We're doing joy today. Here's my baby joy. Okay, I want to just talk about joy because it is a necessity in my life. This is what I want you to feel by the end of this episode. Not just clarity, not just clarity about whose expectations that you've been running, but genuine joy about what your own definition of success looks like when you actually find it. And joy is the patch I reach for when I need my nervous system to remember what it feels like just to be in the right place. Doing the right thing by the right measure, naturally feel joy and happiness and optimism. And sometimes do I need a boost? Absolutely, y'all. It has been a long day, and there's little lives that depend on me, and there's all this responsibility, and I'm having hundreds of conversations, and I feel really great. But sometimes, like on days like this, when I'm kind of pushed to that limit, I just like to just come back to this, to the center focus of what's most important. And right now, this is what the right definition of success is going to produce for you. My patches, every single patch in here is drug-free, no ingredient, vibrotactile technology that supports your brain in accessing the emotional state that your life was supposed to build toward. Okay, I always have the link in the show notes. This is a big anti-pharma movement, and I mean, I've been living with these things for a year, like a year and a week now, actually. So let's get back to expectation, y'all. Back to the regularly scheduled programming. Whose definition of success are you actually chasing? Let's find that out, because this is how the expectation kind of get installed. The brain is a meaning making machine. Okay? Say that five times fast. The brain is a meaning making machine. And meaning, especially in early life, comes almost entirely from the environment, like from the signals, like the verbal, nonverbal, direct, and ambient that the environment sends about what is valued, what is threatened, what is celebrated, what is questioned. And your brain does this incredible job of taking all of those signals in, and it builds a model from them. And then it starts using the model as the operating system for evaluating every experience in your life that follows. This is not a flaw. Your brain isn't broken. This doesn't make you special. It's just the architecture of learning. The brain has to start somewhere. And where it starts is the environment it's born into. Which means your values, those priorities, the definitions of success and failure that your earliest environment held, that went into the model. That was part of the early programming. And it's not optional data. This becomes the foundation. As the stuff the self-concept is built on before there is a self-concept sophisticated enough to evaluate the inputs. We talked about self-concept a couple episodes ago. And neuroscience tells us how deeply this goes. The values and expectations absorbed before approximately age 7, that shit is processed and stored differently than those acquired after. So earlier acquisitions go in through the same channels that process the most fundamental, survival relevant information. They get integrated into the deepest layers of your neural model. They become, in the most literal neurological sense, the background operating system, rather than just like the applications that run on top of it, right? This is the core program in your brain, which means the expectation that was installed at age 5 by the parent whose approval was the most important thing in the world is not just a belief you held, it's the lens through which you evaluate every belief. It is not one of those things your brain measures against, it's part of the measuring instrument itself. And the measuring instrument, you guys, it's not neutral. It can't be. It was built from the specific environment with those specific values and priorities. And those values and priorities may have served the environment that generated them. Absolutely. But they may not serve the life you're trying to build. But guess what? The shit doesn't self-update. It doesn't automatically recalibrate to the new environment you're in, the new calling that you're pursuing, the version of your life that's being built from a completely different set of raw materials than the ones the original instrument was calibrated to measure. That recalibration, babies. Gosh, can you say this first to me? Can you just someone call me before this errors and be like, I know what you're going to say. It's the neuroplasticity. It's available to every single body, to every person. It requires intentional input, though. And it's going to start with us identifying what your instrument, what the thing is measuring. Whose definition is your brain running and deciding whether that definition still belongs in the instrument? Whose definition is running? One of the most common sources of borrowed definition, okay? Not because you necessarily have all of them, but because most people have at least two or three without realizing it. And the ones you recognize in the list, this is the one I want you to examine, okay? The parent expectation. Womp womp. That's the most ancient. It's the most powerful. Not because your parents were trying to limit you, okay? Usually because they were doing the exact opposite, trying to give you the best possible version of the life as they understood it, right? As they understood it. The maybe this comes into you as the college degree that was supposed to open doors for you. For me, it was my first published book, A Dream Come True, right? Womp womp. Maybe it's that stable career that was supposed to provide security. Or the version of the relationship and family and trajectory that was supposed to produce safety. Their definition of success was built from their own experiences. Their definition of success is built from their fears. Everybody walking around has a definition of success that's built from their historical context. And you absorb it from the people that are close to you. And you've been building either towards it or against it. And against it is still defined by it. And you've been doing this ever since. And there is a cultural expectation. Changes with the decade and the demographic and the income bracket and the geography. It's the one that says what a certain kind of person was supposed to have accomplished by a certain age, right? Where's the house? And the income, and how come you're not married yet? And why haven't you upgraded your work position? Haven't you been made manager yet? And the body you have, and the social presence that together constitute looking like you have your shit together. This definition is not stable. It shifts with the algorithm and the trend cycle and the economic moment, but it feels stable because it is constantly reinforced by the environment and it produces that specific anxiety of someone who is measuring a moving target with an instrument that never tells them they have arrived. And we have, I mean, there is this tremendous religious expectation. Depending on the tradition you came up in, you're assigned spiritual weight to certain kinds of achievements and spiritual suspicion to others. The version of success that stays busy and productive, that's holy, rest is lazy, or this that wealth is the devil's money and poverty is character, or that sacrifice is faithfulness and self-care is selfish, or that visibility is pride and obscurity is holiness. These definitions were generated by cultural readings of scripture that served specific institutional purposes. You were manipulated. They have been doing damage in the self-concept and the calling of gifted, called genuinely faithful people for generations. They are not the voice of God. They are the voice of a tradition that someone, sometimes got it right and sometimes they got it very badly wrong. And there is this industry expectation. The one that your professional field has about what success looks like. Okay. What the acceptable trajectory is. What the makers of credibility are. The gatekeepers. This is what they require before they take you seriously. The metrics and the credentials and the associations and the publications and the positions that together constitute being a legitimate player in the space. That definition is not wrong, exactly. I mean, absolutely, there's value in professional credibility, but it's often a definition built by and for the people who were already inside the structure. And it's usually always calibrated to make the people outside the structure feel like they need permission from the inside before they are allowed to matter. You don't need anyone's permission for shit. Your work matters when it reaches the person it was made for. The industry's opinion of you is not the measure. I feel that as a podcaster, right? I am successful as hell. 700 episodes, 3 shows. But if you want to put me in with the industry, I am nothing compared to the Joe Rogan podcast, right? I'm successful by all definitions that matter to me because there is someone in my container every single day that gets something from me that they wouldn't have had if I didn't show up. That's success. Showing up, continuing to create, continuing to step into my potential, being willing to move the needle a little bit every day. That's success. Not 100 million downloads. Would that be cool? Yeah, but that would just be like another level of cool. Success, by my definition, is sitting here with you, just having the conversation. And there is a cost. There is a price to you. If you're going to continue to run the wrong definition, if you spend your life chasing the idea of success that doesn't belong to you, it costs you clarity. The person who doesn't know what they actually want cannot make effective decisions. Every decision has to been it just gets through multiple competing definitions simultaneously. You know, what does this do for my parents' approval? What are they going to think of this? Oh my gosh, what does this say about my cultural positioning? What does this communicate to the industry? What are my friends going to think? What is the church going to think? A decision that emerges as is a compromise between all of those external measures rather than a clear expression of the actual direction. I'll be honest, compromises, they don't build shit. They just keep you confused. They keep you spinning in circles where you feel like you're doing a lot because you're running these ideas through everybody else's permission slips, whatever you want to call it. You're doing a lot, you're going nowhere, and you're going to be exhausted because your energy is just being distributed against too many competing metrics that don't matter. And it's going to cost you your satisfaction. I've been so blessed to get to work with some incredibly powerful, high-income earning women. And the story is all the same. Every person that sat across from me had money in their bank account that I don't know that I'd ever likely see in my bank account. And they were the most miserable, exhausted women I've ever met, the most depressed, because they were chasing someone else's success. It costs you satisfaction, it costs you peace. The person who's achieved someone else's definition of success arrives at the destination and you're gonna feel hollow. I know I've shared this before, and the problem is not ingratitude. The problem is that the destination wasn't theirs. They build towards someone else's benchmark and then they reach it and they found that reaching it doesn't feel that space that space that was shaped by their own actual calling. The calling was never pointing to that benchmark. It was pointing somewhere else and arriving at the wrong destination. However impressive the arrival, but it doesn't produce the same satisfaction of arriving at the right one. And this is the thing, too, I think about my relationship with Christ, and I think that someday I'm going to be held accountable. Did I talk to the right people? The cost for you, it's going to cost you the people that you were made to reach. That's a heavy burden to think because you were so worried about everybody else's approval and you just measured your life with everyone else's metrics and you didn't give a shit about what your real calling was. You're out here in the nethers. And I feel like I'm going to stand in front of him one day and he's going to be like, "Man, you know, you didn't show up because you're so worried about what everybody else is going to think." And Mary Jo never got to hear the truth about
her potential or that her mess could be her message, and she never got her launching point. That's heavy. That cost of the people you're made to reach, because the version of you that's building toward the wrong definition of success is not going to be available for the right kind of work. You are building in the wrong direction. And that means people on the other side of the right work, your calling, the people that really need your particular combination of your story and your wisdom and your voice, it's the only thing they can use, and they're not finding it because you're not building it, because the definition you're building towards is not the one that leads to them. It leads to someone else's approval. And at the end of the day, people don't give a shit about you. And it costs you time. What is time? My gosh, that's like the most irreplaceable resource. Time does not come back. Every year you spend building towards the wrong definition of success is a year you don't get back. And I'm not saying that to make you panic. None of this is like, I'm not fear-mongering you. It's just truth. I want to produce urgency in you. I want you to understand that you are running out of time. And have clear eyes going into this. I want you to be someone who knows exactly what matters and that you're going to make a decision to build towards that starting today. What matters to you? What does it take for your voice to come through? And there are systems. Of course, you know I'm not going to go a whole episode without talking. This is the rebellion season. There are so many systems that profit from your borrowed definition. And they love this. They love it because the borrowed definition of success always includes consumption as a measure of success. And consumption is the system's business model. Because the cultural definition of success requires the house, the new car, the wardrobe, the expensive purse, the experiences, and make sure you have these visible, curated, Instagram perfect, visible markers of a life of someone that has arrived. And every one of those markers, guess what? It's a product someone's selling. The larger and more expensive the definition of success, the larger the market for the product that the signal arrived at. The systems did not create your definition of success out of generosity. They created it out of market research. They studied tons of psychology to see what is going to produce the most reliable spending behavior. And they packaged this up really pretty as the aspirational life. Why do you think these people that look like they the big celebrities, the big houses, the big cars, the heavy hitter coaches, like why do you think they get the most time on the algorithm? 'Cause do they always have the most important thing to say? I don't think so. I've seen commercials for my husband just asked me if it was part of my trash TV, 'cause yes, I do watch Love is Blind, okay? And it's the housewife show. And I can't even think what it is, but it's like different counties, they go through these housewives. I've watched commercials for that and ads for that, and I don't find the value. I don't find the value. It's just another manipulation of what is success. They've specifically packaged this and they market this stuff on purpose as a manipulation tactic. The social media economy is the most efficient version of this. That's it, that curated life. And they display it for the specific purpose of communicating that you have the thing the culture defines as success, and it requires continuous investment in the production of that display. Whatever it is, the experiences, locations, objects, the aesthetics that together constitute a feed that communicates arrival. And then the platform is going to profit from every display because it goes viral because of your consumption of others' displays, which produces that comparative anxiety that drives more consumption. You just continue to scroll from others' consumption of your display, which produces the engagement, drives more platform usage. It's a cycle. We're feeding the machine. The whole ecosystem runs on the borrowed definition of success and the consumption it generates. You've been had, baby. You've been had. Your own definition of success does not require the same level of external validation. It doesn't require this display. We don't have to curate pictures. We don't have to pretend. It's just a very, all it's going to require from you is just an internal, deeply personal satisfaction of building the thing you were actually put here to build and watching it reach people it was made for. And that satisfaction is not consumable. It can't be purchased. It doesn't require a social media feed. Fuck the algorithm. The systems that profit from your spending and your engagement cannot generate it and therefore have a financial interest in making sure you never find it. How are you going to feed the machine if you have a successful life, if you're out there helping other people, if you're getting your house in order, if you're homeschooling your kids and you're present with your family and you're working on becoming a better person? How are we feeding that engagement? How are we feeding the machine? How are we, creating this algorithm that is like a monster? Like, I remember when we're joking about my TikTok page, okay? Because I'm back on, you guys. I've been going live for a week and I have 18,000 followers and the page is dead. I mean, dead, dead, dead. I have zero followers, but there's a number up there. And I remember when I'm building that number and I kind of got disheartened because there was a video that went viral of someone eating strawberries. Like, that's it. It was just a video of someone eating strawberries, I think. Crazy. People went crazy over it. And I'm like, this is what the world wants. Like, this is what people want to watch. I'm out of here. I trashed the page. I left. I was inconsistent. I've dipped my toe in every once in a while, but I just got really discouraged. And when I look at the things that go viral, I still continue to feel the same way. But I think it's not going to help me to try to tell you guys not to look at the videos that are killing your brain cells. Okay. All I can do is step into what I know I'm meant to create, step into my success, step into my power, use my voice to tell you that your story and your message matters. And like, you don't have to scroll on TikTok all day to avoid the life that you currently have because you can create one that you don't need an escape from. I deleted the social medias off of my phones because I don't need the escape. I don't need the dopamine hits. I love my life and I would love more time in a day. If I could have a wish, more time in the day just to get everything in, because I feel like every day there's so much I want to create. There's so many people I want to reach. There's so much I want to do with my kids. And here we are. I couldn't kill my brain space watching someone eat a bowl of strawberries on repeat. Okay. I just want you to understand we're feeding the machine. And your definition of success is available to you. It is yours. It's completely, completely free. It's not going to cost you a dime to find it. Yeah, did I chase the wrong definitions of success? My, oh my. That, how do you think I know what I'm talking about at this point? How do you think I know what I'm talking about? Very, very, I wanted the recognition definition, the one where success meant being seen as successful by specific people whose opinions I decided really super mattered. I wanted the industry validation. I wanted the peer acknowledgement. I wanted the markers of credibility in this space that communicated to the room that I was the real deal. I was building towards that genuinely, putting energy into the pursuit of it. And what happened when I got some of it? Dreams came true, recognition came, acknowledgements came, the big stage came. Markers accumulated. The satisfaction was exactly what I predicted it would be. Brief, partial, immediately generating the question of what was next? Because recognition, it turns out, is a fucking terrible foundation for a definition of success. Not because recognition is bad, but because it's external. And y'all, I'm going to say this forever. External does not produce internal. No amount of people telling you that you've arrived produces the feeling of having arrived. because the feeling of having arrived is not produced by the external validation. It is produced by the internal alignment. It is a very private, like, nobody can give me the experience of peace and success that I have and the experience of doing the work that I was made to do for the people I'm made to do it for and knowing that that's the right thing. I don't give a fuck if you believe it. I don't need you to pat me on the back. I don't need the accolades anymore. I found my voice. I answer to one. That's what I care about. The freedom from that, the weight of the world is off of my shoulders. I know I'm doing the right thing. And the day the definition shifted, the day I stopped and I realized that this was not about recognition, and I started building towards the connection. That's when everything in my life just got better. And it's not bigger. I'm not more recognized. Actually, I'm less recognized. Like my metrics, deleting social media, I don't care about all that. I am having real conversations with beautiful people every single day, and that to me, right there, is incredible. Because now I'm more capable of reaching the person I was meant to reach because I'm not calibrated to impress the fucking industry. I am calibrated to serve you, to show up for you, to make sure you see your potential, to make sure you know there is no excuse in the world that could keep you from it. And to be here to tell you today that success is defined by you. You measure that. The definition change is what made the work worth making. And the work worth making is what eventually produced more recognition than recognition chasing ever did. And do I get it? Yes. Like I'm a top host in my platform, okay? That I brag about it sometimes. That's a big deal. Every single day I get done with these interviews and I don't go a day without hearing it. Like, you are the greatest host I've ever sat with. I love that. I'm a words of affirmation girly. But it doesn't feed me. If I never heard that again, I'd keep doing my job. I don't have to try for anything anymore. And when you're not trying to work so hard for the accolades or for someone to notice you or for the recognition, you actually have energy to work. Like, I have energy to have 5 or 6 interviews a day, 4 days a week, on top of homeschooling my kids, on top of running them around to sports, on top of everything else I do. I have the energy because I'm not. Because I don't care what you think. So I'm asking you right now, like, what are you chasing that was never yours to begin with? I had this, there's this woman on my interview show. I think it was this week or last week. 12 years. And this was all about like building towards her mom's definition of success. Not intentionally. Like, she didn't know that's what she was doing at first, obviously, but it was the career path that her mother had validated enthusiastically. The income level that made her mom proud, and really just that version of the professional life that had been held up her whole childhood. That was the evidence she had of someone who'd done well for themselves, and she did it at the destination. And she said there was a point where she looked in the mirror one day and said she had never felt further from herself in that moment. That's it. With just a settled certainty of someone who arrived and knew they were in the wrong place. And what she really wanted, everything that was underneath the 12 years of building in the approved direction, she wanted to do something creative. That used the parts of her that the career path had been systematically underutilizing. Something that felt like expression rather than performance, and something that was hers. So she did it. Not instead of the career immediately. Because that's terrifying. And that is not always the right first move, okay? But alongside it, in the margins, with the parts of herself that the career hadn't been using, what she discovered in the margin is that the thing that she's building now, the thing that's actually hers. And she's in the coaching space now, which she never thought she would be in. But she does this, and it took her a very long time to realize like the life she'd been living didn't belong to her. And she wished she'd asked the question sooner. That was one of her answers to me. I just wish I would have asked myself that question sooner. And the question is, whose definition is this? for success. And this is not obviously like she loves her mom. It wasn't to assign blame to her mom because her intentions are genuinely good. But you need to ask the question just to know. We're not going to weaponize it. We're not going to turn people into enemies. We just want the clarity of the question. And imagine if you get that answer, you could start building towards the answer instead of the expectation. So ask this question for yourself now. It's not too late. It's never too late. But later does always cost more than today. So I say, ask yourself that question. Whose definition of success am I building? If this episode is naming the definition that you've caught the expectation that's been running your evaluation system without your consent, do me a favor and share this out with someone that might be in the same place. Okay. You know, the one who is building toward a benchmark that belongs to someone else and they don't even know it. It takes a couple minutes, and then make sure you subscribe and leave a written review. There was a crowd in the time of Jesus. This crowd expected a king who would overthrow Rome. The religious establishment expected a rabbi who would work within their system. The disciples were actually looking for a military leader who would restore Israel to political power. The hometown expected the carpenter's son. Everyone had an expectation for who he was supposed to be and what success was supposed to look like for him. And the truth is, he ignored all of it. And he didn't, he wasn't rude. There was no contempt for the people who held the expectations, but completely. He operated from a definition of success that was his. The father's, which was his, and that definition bore no resemblance to any of the surrounding structures that thought they knew what success looked like. He ate with the wrong people. He healed on the wrong day. He talked to the wrong gender. He touched the wrong bodies. And he died in the wrong way at the wrong time by the wrong means, according to every external definition of success anyone around him was holding. And the resurrection was the Father saying that this was the right definition the whole time. Your calling has a definition of success that is not going to match the metrics the surrounding structures are using. Not your family's metrics, not the industry's metrics, not culture's metrics. Your calling has its own shit. And your metrics are specific and they're internal and they're not available from the outside. It comes from the Father. It comes from knowing whose you are and what you are here for and what it looks like when the thing is working the way it was supposed to work. I found it. I've joked my whole life. There is not a guidebook to life. My third year of reading the Bible, we have a guidebook to life. Holy shit. Cover to cover, you have the guidebook. That definition is available to you in the quiet, in the honest conversation with God about what you actually want and who you were actually made to be, and what success looks like when it is measured by the one whose opinion is the only one that ultimately matters. It's the only one I answer to now. And I'm just saying, ask him. Like he has the definition, and it's not the one the culture has been selling you, but it is the one that gives you that freedom and like I said, that energy, because I'm not out for anyone else's approval. I run things by him and him alone, and we work the rest out ourselves. This week, I want you to do three things in order. We're back on the number three. It's not just one thing right now. It's three things in order. Not simultaneously. You can't do it all together. This has to be in order. So, first, you're going to trace the definition. Write out the definition of success you are currently building towards. And be very specific. Like, the vague bullshit isn't going to do anything for you. But, like, I want your specific benchmarks, like the details of the income level, the recognition markers, the lifestyle elements, the professional position, whatever you're building towards, name it concretely. And then next to each item, I want you to write where that benchmark came from, who holds it, what environment generated it, and Ask yourself, is this mine or is it absorbed? Second, write your own definition. Not the one that's supposed to sound right, because this is just between you and you. You don't have to impress anyone. None of that shit, okay? The one that's actually true for you. Like, I want you to write the definition of the life that would really feel like yours. What's your definition of the work that would feel like the right thing? The definition of having done well that doesn't require any external validation to produce any level of internal satisfaction. This is probably going to be uncomfortable. And I really think it's going to take a level of honesty you may not be used to about what you actually want. And being honest about that's going to show you where it conflicts with what you've been telling yourself and others that you want. So I want you to do this, and I want you to do it deeply because this honesty is the point. And the third thing you're going to do is identify the one thing you would do differently today if you were building toward your own definition instead of a borrowed one. Not a full overhaul. We're back to one. Okay, just one thing, one decision that points toward the right direction instead of the approved one. Make that decision today. And then that's your job. Be better today than you were yesterday. And better means more aligned, more yours, more true to the actual definition. And then tomorrow you do it again. And then better tomorrow than you were today. The definition determines the direction. So I want you to change the definition, change the direction, and then you get to change what gets built. And this is what I want to leave you guys with, okay? Because we are in the rebellion. And what is this, like the 54th episode? I'm almost at 600 shows just for this one podcast. That's incredible. Over 700 episodes I have under my belt. Wow. I just give myself the accolades. I don't need a pat on the back from you. I got me. I got me. The life you're supposed to be building and the life you've been building towards are probably not the same. Not completely, maybe not even mostly. And I just want you to understand that that is not a failure. It's just information, it's just data. And the most important information available to you right now, because the information is actionable, it's you could do something with it today. You do not have to blow up the whole life. You do not have to abandon everything you've built or disappoint everyone who's been watching. Been there, done that, have the bumper sticker and the postcard and the t-shirt. You don't want it. You just have to start asking the question that should have been asked sooner and wasn't. Whose definition is this and is it mine? When the answer reveals the gap, when you start to see the distance between the borrowed definition in your own, I just want you to make one move in the direction of yours today. Small, but a real step, a real action in the direction of the life that actually belongs to you, toward the people who are actually waiting for it, and measure it by the standard that actually belongs to you. I love what I do. I help people all of the time find the definition that belongs to them, and then I help them build the voice that belongs to the mission, whether it's a podcast or a book, or you want to get on stages, you want to do a TED talk, whatever that is. We don't worry about the industry's definition of a successful podcast. We find this very specific, personally true, this is what I was made for version. Like I was telling you, my arena. I bring you in my arena. The version of you and the version of success and the version of your podcast that reaches the people it was built for because it was built for them rather than for the metrics. That is the work, and that is what I do. Make sure you check the show notes if you are curious about what it is to come work with me. My Egyptian is still working on my website. We did get into it yesterday, so I'm so excited for that to roll out in the next probably week or two. So keep your eyes open on that. I think the website still looks pretty lame right now, but you can still give me a follow, still get into the list, the mailing list, my love letters, okay? What else do I need to say? Yeah, you guys could check the show notes because that's available to you. It is almost midnight, right? It's 11:30 at night, so I know I'm losing it, y'all. Check the show notes. You guys can find my patches link in there. Message me. You could do that. Tell me what your own definition looks like when you're honest about it. And then I dare you to come on my newest show and tell me why you're special. Curiously, I want to know, and so does my audience. We'll be good to you, I promise. You guys just be better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today. And today, be more you and yours than you were yesterday. I love you guys. I'll see you next week.